lives are. I know I've coughed up one already. And the other one, I'm working on it now. Good job, young lady. Good job. Grips of my heart, makes juice run out my eyes when I hear that. But keep on doing it. Good job. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of 2 Kings. If you find the place over there and you're able to stand, then do so. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4. 2 Kings, chapter 4. If you find the place, you're able to stand. Verse 42. Here's a miracle performed by the man of God by the name of Elisha. There came a man from Belshaisha, I don't know exactly how you pronounce that, but Belshaisha is the way I think you pronounce it, and brought the men of God bread for the first fruits, or of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in husk thereof, and he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what should I set before this 100 men? And he said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. And so he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof, and according to the word of the Lord. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We thank you now for these good songs of Zion that we've enjoyed together, the good special music. We praise you and thank you, for thou art God, beside thee there's none else. Thank you, Lord, for loving us while we were unlovable. Meet every need according as their faith and their hope be in thee. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. I'm going to preach a little while. When life is tough, the Lord will be more than enough. And make no mistake about it, whenever you begin to look into it, the last time that we were in this chapter here, we talked about there was a stew that was being cooked, some kind of a something being cooked there, and it was called Death in the Pot. They went out and gathered some things, obviously, that you ought not to be putting in this kind of meal that they were going to have. And so when they discovered there was death in the pot, no doubt it brought a lot of fear upon everybody. And one of the things we learned is that whenever the man of God told him to go out and get some meal, this and that, and put it in there, and then it would cause no harm to the people, and they may continue and may go ahead and eat. What we learned from that in the very simplistic message is that you better be careful about what you hear and about what you consume. When you look into this lesson that's here, you'll find that a real Christian, they're busy about consuming the word of the Lord. Do you know over there in the book of Mark chapter number 4 and also in the book of Luke chapter number 8 is that the Bible goes ahead and it says something like this. Over in the book of Mark, he said, you better take heed what you hear. Yeah. Over in the book of Luke chapter 8, he talks about Mark chapter 4, take heed what you hear. Luke chapter 8, he said, you better take heed what you hear, see? You know, as you get to thinking on that subject, is that if you listen to something that's wrong long enough, it'll go to sounding good to you. That's what happened to Samson when Delilah lay in his lap, and every day she just sounded a little sweeter. She must have been cute as a button for Samson, or at least in his eyes. And there she was, you know, in the lap of Delilah, and boy, speaking all them sweet things to her and listening to her speak back to him. And let me tell you, he didn't take heed to not only what he heard, but how he heard it. And as a result of that, he paid a great price for that. Let me say to you that, if you will, over there in the book of Luke, and turn quickly there, don't lose your text, but over in the book of Luke in chapter number 8, the Bible said that God, the Lord Jesus, is bringing a parable. And he brings it in verse number 15. He tells us, but that which is on the good ground, and they are they with an honest and a good heart. They hear the word, and they keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience. In other words, when a person comes to know the Lord, they've heard the blessed word of the Lord, and as a result of that, they've got an honest and they've got a good heart. You ever see somebody went through all the motions, bowed their head, repeated a prayer, this and that. 30 days, the FBI couldn't find them. A lot of times, you know, they've got a baptismal certificate somewhere, and they say, are you saved? Yeah, I haven't got the certificate to show it. And they can't find that anywhere. Let me tell you something. You better have the credentials of God on the inside of your heart. In the lesson that we're looking at, over there in verse 16, he said, chapter 8, book of Luke, no man, when he lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but he setteth it upon a candlestick, that they which enter may see the light. In other words, if you're saved, you ought to be able to see the light of the Lord living in you. For nothing is secret that they shall not be made manifest, and neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, look how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Now I want to say to you, when you look at it, did you notice there's a matter of having something and there's a matter of seeming to have something? That's the reason I'm always telling all these boys and girls, you know, you better take whatever somebody tells you and get a chapter, a book, and a verse for it. And if you don't do that, then you may be talking to somebody that seemeth to have something, but they really don't. I got to tell you, I don't know about you, but I know the difference between just being a little bit religious and still lost without hope and without God. I know the difference between being saved and being lost, and religious but lost. In the lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, when you get born again, nobody that's born into the family of God wants to hide it under a bed or under a bushel. In fact is that they want to be able to put it there on a candlestick so that all that enter in may see it. That all that can look at you and tell you've got something different. Now, I've known most of you for over 20 some odd years, some of you longer than that. And let me tell you right now is, it's good to be able to look out and to be able to know that you shine for Jesus and that we don't have to wonder about what you seem to have. Bless God, honey, you've got it. You've got it. And it's good to know that. It's good to have that. It's good to see that. I'll tell you, these boys and girls, these little, they see it. They know it. As they're growing up right here in the house of God, they learn how to pray. They learn how to sing. They learn how to recognize when a person's worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And they're able to get in on such a thing. Now, I'll tell you something. Why in the world would a person want to hide the Lord in their heart and not be made manifest to those that are around about you? Well, I can tell you over in the book of 2 Peter, and don't turn there, but the Bible said in chapter number 2 and about verse number 3, there are those that would try to make merchandise of you. This easy crowd, easy believe crowd that is trying to get somebody to bow their head, repeat the prayer, this and that, so forth and on, that comes from somebody that's greedy of gain. You don't want to make a person feel like they've got something they don't have unless you're trying to get in their pocketbook. And as a result of that, you're going to find out the world is full of preachers that are gathering a crowd together, and I guarantee you they know he's willing to compromise whatever the Lord says to be able to tell them what they want to hear. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that there are those that can twist the scripture any direction you want it twisted for your gain, that they might be able to get gain from you. Let me say to you that greed ought never excite the preacher, and greed ought never get into the pulpit or in the pew. What happens is that they begin to ignore what God said in this Bible lesson. Now back in our text over there in 2 Kings, I want to say to you that here they are. They've got a pretty good group of men, 100 mentioned. And the Bible said there that as a result of it is that the man of God, they brought some first fruits. And by the way, when you begin to look into it, you'll find that the miracle is this here, is that they've got 20 loaves of barley bread, and they've got some ears that are still in the husk. In other words, corn with the husk still on it, hadn't been shucked yet. And as a result of that, is that it comes up, there's obviously a need for somebody to be able to get a meal. And so Elisha tells him, he said, I want you to feed these men, and here's what we've got. Well, the guys that are servitors or that are going to distribute that, they automatically know that's not going to be enough. I mean, how in the world are we going to feed 100 men? He said, you feed the people first. When they get through, they'll have some left over, and that's when we'll feed these men. Now, that's going to take a miracle, and let me tell you, it did take a miracle, and the miracle was given by the hand of God. The Bible said over there in the book of Matthew in chapter number 6, about verse number 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and whatever you have need of will be added unto you. And therefore, we're to take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow, take thought of these things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, here's what, as we looked into it, the servitor brings up and brings it out. Here's what he says, verse 43. What? These men outnumber the means. We've got more men than we've got means to be able to feed them. Now, you may get to a place in your life like that, to where you've got more of, you're outnumbered by the means that you have. I don't know how many shucks of corn they had. I do know that they had some loaves, 20 loaves and 100 men, and they had some corn that's still in the husk, if you please. Now, I want you to watch this and see that what's wrong with him is the same thing that gets wrong with you and I. Notice, if you will, please, is that he said, I want you to take and get whatever God's already provided and the first fruits that have already been brought, and I want you to feed the people first, and then we'll go ahead and feed these men with those that are left over. Two places, one of them's in the book of Luke. Turn quickly there. In the book of Luke in chapter number 9 and about verse number 13, as well as in the book of St. John chapter number 6. In the book of Luke chapter number 9, about verse number 13. Now, here's a crowd that's about 5,000 strong. And the Lord says, as they are in verse number 12, and I want you to look at that passage there, and when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away that they may go into towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. You see the word desert place there? That's pretty barren, isn't it? But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You see that? Except we should go to buy meat for all of this people. For they are about 5,000 men. And he said unto his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and they set them down, and so forth and on. And he took, in verse 16, the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, blessed them. He brake them and he gave them to his disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and they were all filled, and there was taken up of the fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. Now, notice, if you will, that it looked pretty dry, desert-like while you turn to the book of St. John chapter 6. Over in St. John chapter number 6, by verse number 9, we'll take up reading there. As a result, the Lord Jesus Christ is about to perform a miracle here in the New Testament, as he did with Elisha back over in the Old Testament. And over there in the book of St. John, chapter number 6, about verse number 9. Now, here they are. They've been following the Lord. And their question has already come up about where we're going to buy enough bread that these may eat something. And finally, they go on and realize in verse 7, Philip answered him and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, I want to tell you, the Lord's about to do more and give them a little. He's about to fill them up. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? In other words, he's got his eyes on the number of people, the number of men, and then he's got his eyes on the slimness of the means. And Jesus said, make them sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place. Isn't that amazing how some people look at a desert place and see nothing? Some people look at it and see grass there. So the men set down the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, look, it was more than a little curb your appetite snack. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that there remain nothing to be lost. And they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above them that had eaten. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, here's what we ought to learn and here's what we want to put out. The thing with the servitor, back over in our text, he had his eyes upon the means instead of the master. And there's a lot of things that you wonder, how in the name of God am I ever going to get through this? And let me tell you right now, God not only can get us through and bring us through and will do so, but you'll find out that he's able to fill us back up as empty as we may seem to be. I begin to think about when you begin to look into this lesson that's here, you're not going to be able to eat up whatever God can supply. You're just not going to. I remember whenever I grew up, now you know I've never been hungry. I know you probably can't tell it. And, of course, I've got a notch or two that I've taken up, but I used to have to let it out. Anytime soon, I may get back on the bluebell and go to the other way with the notches. In other words, instead of sucking it up another notch, I may have to let it out a notch. And so as a result of that, you'll find out I begin to regain what I've lost. Now, I probably should stay about like I am, and all that's been is there, because it makes me feel good. It makes me feel better. It makes me want to play an instrument or some kind or another, you know. Just wanted to see if you knew how to. I know how to do stuff. It's good to be able, whenever you're having to live on a meager means, to finally see that God is able to fill us up and go way beyond our expectation. I never dreamed that we'd make it this far in life. I've seen a lot of people come, a lot of people go, a lot of people rise, a lot of people fall. But I want to tell you something, what I've learned through all these years, faith looks beyond all the obstacles and all the limitations that man is looking at. Whatever it is that you're going through, let me tell you right now, is that things will never be able to take the place of what God, in his infinite grace and mercy and miracles, able to provide for us. In our lesson text, the Bible said those men of God, they brought the first fruits. And the Bible said over in the book of Proverbs 3 that we're to honor God with our first fruits and with our substance. In the lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that in the Old Testament, they brought the first fruits to the house of God, to the men of God. And they sought first God and the will of God by worshiping God with all of their first fruits. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, you'll find out that it was mentioned that we were to set those things before the Lord for worship. Over in the book of Romans in chapter number 8, there's a passage there that we ought to look at. And then we'll turn to James in chapter 1. But in the book of Romans in chapter number 8, about verse number 23, the Bible said, now, not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. See, when you and I talk about the fruits, the first fruits of God, when you and I got saved, we've got the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? I want to say to you that you and I have been saved by the grace of God. We look at great anticipation to his coming again. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I've been washed by the blood and born into the family of God while we look in the book of James in chapter 1. When you got saved, when I got saved, that's a kind of first fruits from God. Over in James 1, verse 18, the Bible said, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. When you heard the word of the Lord, you heard the word of truth. You heard the word of truth, you got born into the family of God. Notice that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I got to say to you that when you and I look at the first fruits, what we're looking at the Lord, we're looking at the Savior. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Over there, and there's a passage I want to read to you real quickly in 1 Corinthians. It's in chapter number 15. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 20 and verse 23. When you and I came to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, and we're the first fruits, that's what we've received from Him. Look in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Look in verse number 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming. I want to say in closing this morning, just for this thought, God did not give us his leftovers. He gave us his first fruits. And let me tell you, should we give him any less? No, should not. In this day and hour that we're living in, there's a whole lot of religion running up and down the road that are taking whatever they can for the best for themselves. And they're not rendering unto God anything but what they have left over, if they have any time left over. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know Him in the free pardon of sin. I remember in days gone by, you meet people sometime that have less money than you've got, but they've got something that money can't buy on the inside that really shines out. I got to tell you right now, I've seen people, you know, that were driving automobiles, running on three tires, and that one little donut tire. Don't ever tell me that that little donut car tire's only good for 30 miles. I run them till the thread shine through. See? And somebody said, why would you want to do that? Oh, I don't know. I guess I set a record. No, I didn't have any money. Didn't have any money. I'm not talking about, you know, when we sat down at a meal, I've never been hungry. Even when I was growing up, it might have been rice and beans, but there was plenty of it. And since the day I've gotten saved, since the day I've gotten grown, since they got married, all these kids, it may not be exactly what we wanted. Some of you kids, you know, you may, man, is this what we're having? Oh, no, honey, I'll tell you what we'll do is we'll have a nice 16-course meal if you want to be in it. Can you want to pay for it? It's not that we had run out. We weren't just doing without. We just run out sometime. But we had enough of whatever it was. Somebody said, man, I couldn't eat rice and beans. It's because you've not been hungry enough. See? Somebody, you're sitting here thinking right now because I know how you love squirrels. Ooh, those are like rats. Well, they are of the rat family. But let me tell you right now, if you've not eaten a squirrel, you're not hungry enough. I'm just telling you. You'd be surprised what you could consume and be glad to get in this life that we're living. Let me tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God has loved us. And I'm talking about with a divine love and a holy love and a love that even goes beyond our imagination for all that He has supplied for our need. I'm looking forward one of these days to listening to the trumpet sound and the dead in Christ rising, and we which are alive and remain to be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, caught up with together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I look at all that's going on with the news and the news media and the wickedness that's going on in our country. And I go to thinking, Lord, I want to pray for my children and for the grandchildren. I know that probably before this thing gets as bad as it's going to, I may be on the other side. But I'm not just concerned about me going to the other side. I'm concerned about these children and about these grandchildren. And I can tell you, whatever comes your way in life, He shall be enough. He is enough. He shall be enough. He's always been enough. I wonder this morning, can you just rejoice and be glad and worship Him because of His goodness and mercy and grace? Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we want to say thank You for all You've done and for all You're doing. It just might be, Lord, that somebody has been going through some stuff that, well, only You and them know about. May, dear God, You comfort them and strengthen them and let them be able to know You're enough. You're just enough. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, we pray.